Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you will learn to identify, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Louder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us here again today. It really is. Now, what's going to be on our schedule for our 30-minute time together? Well, first, you are going to discover the very first of several sessions that go together to make up what we call our Financial Freedom God's Way Radio Seminar. Now, what is the goal of this seminar? Well, simply, it's to make sure that you know that financial freedom God's way is possible. I mean, it is possible for you starting right now, this instant. It is possible for you to learn, apply, and start to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications. It is possible. You can do this. And today, you're going to see how we can help. Then we're going to build on what the Lord is showing us about financial freedom. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our own minds. Now, to me, this means that we need to check out our financial attitudes, the attitudes that drive our financial actions. So during our Q&A time together today, we're going to see some real-world questions that will have us prayerfully check our financial attitudes. Next, the Better Business Bureau is going to tell us all about how to avoid the new Twitter and Instagram scam that's going around. And finally, one of our favorite Christian authors and speakers and teachers, John Maxwell. Well, John is going to share with us his thoughts on the word hope. So, stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be another great time with the Lord that you are absolutely not going to want to miss. And as a matter of fact, you may either want to take some notes or listen to the broadcast again on our website so that you can take some notes. Either way, let's start by making sure the Lord is the one driving our time together. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for meeting with us and teaching us and challenging us again today. Will you please give us ears to hear and the faith to put into practice all that you have planned for us today to your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we start out on our Financial Freedom God's Way radio seminar time together today, let me ask you a couple of questions, okay? A couple of questions. Here's the first. Are you enjoying financial freedom God's way, or do you struggle with your finances? Is your relationship with God stressed? Because whenever you sit down to read the Bible or pray, all you can think about are money problems? Do you and those close to you argue about money? Are your credit cards maxed out? Hey, do you pay one credit card with another? Are creditors calling about late mortgage and car and credit card payments? Have you considered bill consolidation loans, second jobs, second mortgages, or maybe even bankruptcy? Or perhaps maybe you have some other financial issues in your life today. For example, have your personal and business decisions always been God-honoring? Maybe not. Do you live from paycheck to paycheck? Are you saving and investing for emergencies in college or retirement as you know you should? Do you have enough of the right kinds of insurance? Do you tithe? Can you give the way that you would like to give? Do you have a will? My friend, you need to know that financial freedom God's way is possible for you now. You see, my friend, managing your finances really should not be a struggle. The financial areas of your life should be freeing, not restricting. Listen, from personal experience, I can assure you that you're going to find life a whole lot more enjoyable and rewarding if your financial decisions are pleasing to God. You see, you can have closer family relationships. You can enjoy a debt-free lifestyle to include owning your home, by the way.
You can be saving for the future. You can be planning to pass on part of your wealth to family members and maybe other worthy ministries and organizations. So, yes, it is possible for you to get on the path to financial freedom God's way right now. But how are you going to do that? How are you going to get started? I'm glad you asked. Listen, during each of our Financial Freedom God's Way radio seminar sessions, you're going to learn to recognize, understand, apply biblical financial principles, okay? And as a result, you will better understand the forces behind all your financial distresses and stresses. You're going to learn to set realistic goals and how important it is to get on and stay on a budget. We will work together to help make things right for you and your family, spiritually, financially, and emotionally for good. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. Now, how are we going to get there? What are you going to hear during our radio seminar times together? Well, first, we're going to lay a spiritual and an economic foundation. You see, it is important that we start with the same basic understanding as to where we are and how we got here. Then, we're going to cover the two most important biblical financial principles in all of God's Word. My friend, if you understand and apply these two basic financial principles, they will help direct every financial decision you are ever going to make. And along the way, we're going to be talking about something called religious folklore. Now, these are the financial principles that sound spiritual, but they don't come from God's Word. They are worldly principles that lead us into financial bondage, not financial freedom, okay? We're going to point out some specific ways that God wants us to use and not use money. And then we're going to dig deep into financial bondage, what it is, what it looks like, and what to do about it. And we're also going to consider financial freedom, what it is, what it looks like, and how to plan for it. And we will talk about finances for singles and how to train our children. And yes, we're even going to be talking about giving and a whole lot more. So, that is where we're headed and how we're going to get there, okay? That is the Financial Freedom God's Way radio seminar that we're going to be offering every weekend for the next many weekends, all right? So let's go ahead and let's get started now. And as we do, what I want to do is to ask you another question, okay? Here's the question. How do you get rid of a bad habit? How do you get rid of a bad habit? Now, I think you got to know that the answer to that question has two parts, right? First, you need to recognize that bad habit, right? You got to see the habit that's not God-pleasing. And then you must replace that bad habit with a good habit. You got to replace that bad habit with a habit that is pleasing to God. Now, you got to know that this same process applies when we talk about how to manage your money in ways that are pleasing to God. Before you can move to spiritually higher ground in your finances, you must first learn to identify and replace worldly financial habits with habits based on God's Word. Now, what does this mean? Well, this means that we need to know a little bit about our national economy, okay? Now, I got to tell you, I know that the topic of economics can be very, very interesting to a lot of people. If you happen to be an economist, But I got to tell you, I find them to be a different breed of cat. I mean, economists are a hard group to pin down. Have you ever noticed that by listening to the radio and watching TV? As a matter of fact, someone once said that if we took all of the economists in the world and we lined them up end to end, they would never reach a conclusion. Nonetheless, my friend, I got to tell you, it's important to understand where our national economy is today, because our national economy has helped shape our personal financial habits. Now,
headed out in that direction. I got to tell you again, on the whole, most economists believe our nation will continue to suffer. Listen, we will continue to suffer as a nation from an almost incurable disease, and that would be the misuse of debt. You see, quite often, our government chooses to spend more than it makes, and then it tries to make up the difference by borrowing. Now, is this approach to debt right or wrong? I mean, is it good or bad? Who's to say? Our economist friends? Hey, maybe our radio and TV pundits? What about our elected officials? Well, I submit that there is only one true measure as to whether our national economy is headed in the right direction, and that would have to be God's word. So let's see, for just a moment, let's see what God promises a nation, any nation, to including our nation. Let's see what he promises any nation that follows his financial and economic principles. And as we do, I think Deuteronomy 28, 12 to 13 is going to be the best place to start. This Old Testament book of the Bible, it tells us that if we as a nation choose to follow God's economic and financial principles, well then, the Bible says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. Now, that is what we can expect if we follow God's economic plan. However, what is God's warning to a nation, any nation, including our nation? What is his warning to a nation that chooses not to follow his economic plan? Let's take a look at Deuteronomy 28, 43 to 44. You see, as a nation, if we choose not to do things God's way, well then, the alien who lives among you will rise above you higher and higher. You will sink lower and lower. He will lend to you. You will not lend to him. He will be the head. You will be the tail. Oh my goodness. Now, I don't believe it takes a gift of discernment to figure out where we are and where we may be headed in our country today. For example, did you know that way back in 1985, the United States became the single largest debtor nation in the world? And that every year, we sell off more and more of our national wealth to foreign interests. That means every year we sell more and more of our lands and our businesses and our technology to foreigners. You see, the foreigner is rising above us higher and higher. How do we know that? Well, look around. More and more of us are working for foreign owners right here in our own land. Now, let me ask you, do you think this is an indication of God's blessing for our obedience, or perhaps his judgment for our disobedience? I have to believe that a reasonable person would probably agree that we just might be witnessing God's warning being placed into action on our country. You see, our problem is, the problem that you and I have, is that our government has taught us well. How so? Well, you and I often choose to live on more than we make, and we try to make up the difference by borrowing, which leads to more debt, to the point that debt becomes a habit. And I'm telling you, and you know this, habits, particularly lifestyle habits, are hard to break. Let's stop here and camp here for just a second. And let me ask you, if that's true, and it is, why are habits hard to break? Because breaking a habit requires change. And for most of us, change is going to be very, very uncomfortable. Now, let me give you an example. Here is what I want you to do. But listen, I want you to do this only if you are not driving, okay? If you are driving, keep your hands on the wheel and just listen, and you're going to see where we're going. But if you are not driving, here's what I want you to do. I want you to clap your hands. Clap your hands like you would applaud a good performance, all right? Clap your hands. Now, most likely, you moved your hands from side to side, right? Now, switch it around just a little bit. Try clapping your hands by moving your hands up and down. How does that feel? Yeah, a little bit uncomfortable, isn't it? Right? But I got to tell you, if you practice clapping up and down long enough, this change is going to become comfortable. And when it becomes comfortable, you will have formed a new habit. My friend, here's the point. If you want to manage your finances in ways that are pleasing to God, then you need to identify and change some of your financial habits. Now, how are you going to do that? By moving away from the world and into God's Word to understand and apply, to begin to understand and apply the basic financial principles that you're going to begin to learn next week. Okay, now again, what are those two foundational principles, critical biblical financial principles? What are they? You are going to discover these two biblical financial principles next time. Plus, you will also see how these basic financial principles lead us right to our very first piece of spiritual financial armor based on the book of Ephesians. Okay, the biblical book of Ephesians. This is going to be a great time, so you're not going to want to miss it. Now, as we wrap up this first Financial Freedom God's Way radio seminar session together, please know that during each of our times together, please remember that all of us at Christian Financial Ministries, we have been helping God's people who are absolutely positively ready to get out of debt and then work to build and pass on wealth. We've been helping folks since 1987. We have helped hundreds and hundreds of individuals and families and churches and small businesses through counseling and consulting and coaching and small group studies and seminars and workshops. Listen, God can use this Financial Freedom God's Way radio seminar to help you. So we will see you next time as we continue to help you begin your quest for financial freedom God's way. Trust me, my friend, you're not going to want to miss a single session. Okay, now let's build a bit on what the Lord is showing us about financial freedom. You see, the Bible tells us that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, to me, this means that we need to check out the financial attitudes that drive our financial actions, right? I mean, we have just been talking about that. So let's continue to talk about financial freedom as we see some real-world questions from real-world folks that will help us to prayerfully check our financial attitudes. Now, I believe you're going to see what I mean by this by way of this first question. Bob, my wife and I have serious concerns about the affluence in the United States today. Is it scriptural for Christians to maintain this level of affluence, or should we drastically change our lifestyle so that we can help feed the world's hungry? Now that's the question. And as you can see, it is not a softball pitch, right? Now, first, what about listeners? Let me mention this to you. What do you think? Have you ever felt just a little guilty about having so much compared to so many who had far less, have you? Well, let's dig deep here for just a couple of minutes and see what the Bible has to say, all right? And as we do, we discover that the Bible actually has a whole lot to say about concern for the poor. For example, in Psalm 82, 1-4, Isaiah 1:17, Matthew 25:34-40, James 1:27, John 3:17-18. Hey, this is just a few. No doubt, my friends, our affluence can blind us to the real needs of other people. Many Christians, as a matter of fact, by example, we can prove that by the fact that many Christians' biggest concern today is how to reduce their tax burden, not how to put bread on the table. But to put it all in balance, God's word does not prohibit a Christian from having a surplus. In fact, I got to believe that God places Christians at every level of society, from the very poorest to the most affluent, so that we can witness to those around us. Psalm 37:4 says that we are to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So what are the desires of our hearts? Well, for those of us who seek to serve God, it is not material indulgence. God promises his people and abundance if they care about others' needs. For example, in Psalm 112:5 tells us this, "It is well with a man who is gracious and lends." You see, God has no difficulty with our affluence, provided that it is used to help others and we use it in a way that's glorifying to Him. So does this question give you a reason to check your financial and spiritual attitude? Probably so. Well, what about this next question? Here's another good one. "Bob, we have a controversy going on in our church." Our pastor believes that if you have any problems in your life, including financial problems, it's an evidence of sin in your life. I'm concerned with this philosophy. Eventually, nobody would ever admit to any problems for fear that everybody else would think he or she is sinning. Here's my question. Can Christians have financial problems that are not sin-related? Oh, my. Mark, let me say this right off the bat. First of all, I am not the right person to answer your question, okay? I can and will give you a response, but you really ought to sit down and respectfully talk about this with your pastor. He is your spiritual leader, not me. The Lord has placed you under His teaching. So the first thing that I can say is that do not let this controversy divide your church. Talk about it with your pastor, all right? Now, having said that, let me share this. The attitude that Christians ought never to have any financial problems is more widespread than you might think, not just in your church, but all across the body of Christ. It's often thought that when Christians do have financial problems, it's because God is punishing them. Oh my goodness, what a defeating philosophy. What a terrible attitude. Consider this, though. James 1:2 says, "Consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various problems, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You see, we could probably paraphrase this verse something like, if you really want to have your faith perfected, you need to have a problem or two to test it. Therefore, we can know for certainty that problems are not the evidence of sin in our life. Now, we've already seen that some problems, including financial problems, might be an evidence of sin in our life, but they are never the evidence of sin. And that is to say that problems can be an indicator of sin. Yes, they can, but there will also be a lot of other indicators as well, including the sin itself. Jesus Christ Himself promises that if we yield our rights to God, then we will have peace. And the Lord Himself had, if you stop to think about it, the Lord Himself had plenty of problems during His time on earth, right? And if we follow in His steps, we're going to have some problems. We're going to have some difficulties. And through those difficulties, we are to be witnesses to others who are having similar problems or anybody else that the Lord brings around. By observing us, they will know that our God is the real deal. Mark, let me share with you one final thought. The last thing someone having serious problems, including financial problems, is for another Christian asking them if he or she has confessed all their known sins. Most of the people, and I say that because of this, most of the people that we counsel at Christian Financial Ministries have confessed every sin at least twice and several more that they had not ever done, just to make sure. All right? Okay, well, there you have it. Couple of great questions, and I suggest you prayerfully take these questions to heart. Take them before the Lord to check out your attitude about finances. Now, let me ask you yet another question. Are you verified on either Twitter or Instagram? Because if you are, you need to know about this scam that directly targets you. Let me explain. According to the Better Business Bureau, in this new scam, con artists are going after businesses and individuals with verified account. Now, what happens is that you receive a direct message or maybe an email that appears to come directly from Twitter or Instagram or maybe one of your other social media platforms. Now, this message tells you that your verified account has been flagged
and you need to re-verify it. And if you don't re-verify it, you're going to lose your account. Now, the scam message asks you to click on a link or download a form to start that appeal process to review, to re-verify your account. Now, if you do click, you may download malware onto your desktop, laptop, or mobile device that will collect your personal data without you even realizing it. And if you fill out the form or reply with the requested information, scammers are going to likely be able to hack your personal account with your personal information and commit identity theft. So, that's how the scam works. Now, according to the Better Business Bureau, what can you do about it? Well, four things. First of all, understand how your social media platforms work. Get to know a social media platform's policies and procedures before you start using it. Listen, if you clearly understand your social media platform's policies, procedures, all how it works, you're going to be less likely to fall for correspondence from a scammer, okay? Second, be wary of unsolicited messages. You know this. Be skeptical about out-of-the-blue messages, especially if they ask you to click on links or download and open attachments. Instead, go straight to the source. Go to the platform's official customer service center to find out if the message is real. Third thing you can do is look for the normal signs of a scam. For example, poor spelling, bad grammar, pressure to act now, scare tactics. These are all red flags that indicate a scam. And fourth, always protect your personal information. Never give your login credentials or other personal information to a stranger without verifying the legitimacy of their request. So, how to avoid this and a whole lot of other scams as well? Understand how social media platforms work. Be alert to unsolicited messages. Be aware of bad grammar and pressure to act and scare tactics. And finally, promise yourself that you are always going to protect your personal information. So, great radio seminar, Q&A, and scam alert time together. Now is one of my favorite times of the day, and that's when we get to spend a minute with Maxwell. Today, Christian leadership author and speaker, teacher, trainer, and coach John Maxwell shares with us his thoughts on the word hope.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. Ruth, one of our team members from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, asked me to talk today about the word hope. You know, today, right where we are in our world, maybe there's not a more important word than the word hope. I wrote a book last year called Change Your World. At the beginning of that book, Change Your World, I wrote these words, hope has two beautiful daughters, anger and courage. Anger at the way things are, but courage to stand up and make a difference. Now, that's where hope comes from. Hope is not hype. It's not me just saying that we can get better. It's showing that we can do better. It's entering the arena of action, rolling up our sleeves and saying, I not only have hope in my heart, I'm going to work hope in my life. It's an action, active verb. It's a beautiful word. So I hope today that you have hope. In fact, I would encourage you to be a hope dealer with people. Trust me, you'll lift them up and you'll make a difference in their life.
Wow. What I hear John telling us is that hope has two beautiful daughters, anger and courage. Anything is possible when you have hope. So choose to see the light even on your darker days. Thank you, John Maxwell. And that wraps up our time together today. Remember that you can always re-listen to this program on our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. It's been a great time together. Now let's close as we always do, and that is with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together and teaching us again today and for each of the days yet to come to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we will see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom God's way.